Mystery would be waiting for me tomorrow. Tonight, I had a date.
Chapter 19. George. I was getting awfully handsy with June, but as long as she was letting me, I wasn't stopping. We sat across from Cassidy and Bowie in a cute little Italian restaurant, Mama Lucia's. It was the sort of place with tablecloths and good wine, but still felt a bit like sitting in someone's dining room for a family dinner. We could hear the owners, a middle-aged couple, arguing in Italian in the kitchen, and the whole place smelled like garlic, fresh bread, and spices. I had a hand on June's thigh, and the little vixen was wearing a skirt. I'd commented on her clothing choice when she'd come downstairs after changing, and she'd calmly stated that she wore skirts regularly. I just hadn't seen her in one. No shit, I hadn't seen her in one. I hadn't touched her in one either, prior to getting my hand on her leg beneath the table as soon as humanly possible once we'd been seated. From the second she'd walked down those damn stairs, my attention had been glued to her legs. Long, sleek, soft. I rubbed her leg a bit and let my hand slide higher. Above the table, she wasn't reacting. I didn't think her sister was aware of what I was up to. Bowie wasn't stupid. I was pretty sure he could tell. I was also pretty sure he was doing the same thing or more to Cassidy over on their side. I pretended not to notice. Guy courtesy. This was the most skin contact I'd had with June since we'd started dating. The physical side of my last relationship hadn't developed this slowly. In fact, none of my relationships had developed this slowly. A date or two, and I'd had them in my bed, or been in theirs. I was a physical guy. Touch and contact were a big deal to me. But with June, I was enjoying the slower pace. I rubbed her thigh, but didn't push too much. Had she been tipping her knees apart and inviting me in, I would have done so enthusiastically. I would have found an excuse to skip the movie and taken her back to my place to have some fun exploring, but she wasn't, and I was all right with that. I didn't need to get in her panties to want to be with her. Of course, I did want to get in her panties. I was hard as concrete for her, and the temptation was real. I wanted to get to know that smooth body, wanted to touch her, feel her, let her touch me. Squeezing her leg a little, I took a long breath. We'd get there.
"Do we want dessert?"
Bowie asked. Cassidy groaned.
"I'm too full. That rigatoni was amazing. I'm satisfied with the meal as well,"
June said. Despite Bowie's protests, I paid for the four of us. Then I helped June into her coat, and we all walked down to the Bootleg Springs Theater. Like all things in this town, it wasn't your ordinary movie theater. It had been refurbished to look like something from the 20s. An Art Deco sign hung over the ticket booth, casting a soft glow over the sidewalk. Inside, the lobby was decorated in black and gold. They'd somehow managed to make it glamorous without seeming out of place in Bootleg. Maybe it was the smell of buttered popcorn or the moonshine selection served in mason jars, but it fit in perfectly. We paid for our tickets, but skipped the snacks. I could have gone for a bucket of popcorn, but I was trying to pace myself, and the lasagna I'd eaten had about done me in. Bowie chose a spot near the back of the theater. I had a flashback to my high school days. This was exactly where I would have taken a date as a 16-year-old kid, perfect for a little mid-movie make-out session. I gently tugged June's arm as we made our way down the row. "Leave a seat between us and them. Give us some space to spread out. In other words, put some room between you and your sister so I can get a little naughty with you when the lights are low." Bowie gave me a subtle chin tip. He knew how it was done. We took off our coats, putting them in the extra chair, and sat.
"I'm not familiar with this movie," June said. "What is it?" "It's supposed to be romantic," Cassidy said.
Bowie and I shared a look. Not our cup of tea, but neither of us were really here for the movie.
"Oh, good,"
June said, her voice brightening.
"I've been working on exploring my emotions through romantic fiction. Film is another medium for that." "Good for you, Junie," Cassidy said.
After a few minutes, the lights dimmed. I slipped June's hand in mine and stroked the back with my thumb. She watched the previews, her eyes intent on the screen. I watched her face, admiring the way the glow of light highlighted her upturned nose, her soft lips, her neck. Leaning closer, I took a deep breath, smelling her hair. God, she smelled good. Fresh and clean, but still warm and inviting. The movie began, and from the first note of the opening song, I had a strange feeling. Cassidy had said romantic, and it certainly began that way, but a warning was going off in the back of my mind as we watched. I just wasn't sure why. Despite my intention to have a little make-out fun with June, an hour into the movie, I couldn't stop watching. It was a love story following a girl and boy who'd grown up together. Life kept pulling them apart and bringing them tantalizingly close, only to pull them apart again. It was heart-wrenching. I glanced at June. The glow from the screen illuminated her features, and I suddenly realized why that alarm in my head wouldn't quit. This movie was making my chest ache. I sniffed hard, and it was clear it was doing the same to her. Her brow creased and her eyes were wide. She chewed her thumbnail and squirmed in her seat as if her body was having a hard time containing all the emotion she was experiencing. My attention was only half on the movie now. I wanted to know what would happen. I had a strong suspicion it wasn't going to end happily, but I was captivated by June. Her feelings shone through in her expression in a way I'd never seen before. She gazed at the screen with hope, then worry, then fear. She clutched her hands together and held them to her chest, touched her mouth, covered her eyes. When she looked again, the story had taken a turn for the tragic. I was having a hard time not letting my eyes leak. A quick glance at Cass and Beau showed Cassidy quietly sobbing with Bowie's arm around her shoulders. June shook her head a few times as if trying to come to terms with what had just happened in the movie. Death, grief, loss, tragedy. It was all there on that big screen. Her body shuddered. She took a shaky breath, and tears flowed down her cheeks.
Oh, Junie, Cassidy whispered, reaching for her sister.
I met Cassidy's eyes and mouthed, "I've got her." Cass nodded. I slipped June out of her seat and coaxed her into my lap. She melted into me, burying her face against my shoulder while she cried. Her body shook with deep sobs as I rubbed her back with slow circles. No one paid us any mind. Half the people in here were crying, the other half comforting them. Even Bowie did a quick swipe at the corner of one eye. I pretended like I didn't notice, even as I cleared my throat and sniffed hard again. Guy courtesy. The movie ended with enough hope that we didn't all want to walk into oncoming traffic when we left, but it had been bittersweet at best. I tucked June against me, keeping an arm firmly around her. She wrapped her arms around my waist and leaned her face into my chest. She still hadn't stopped crying.
"I'm so sorry,"
Cassidy said when we walked out of the theater onto the street. She wiped her eyes and sniffed.
"I had no idea that movie would be so sad. I'd heard it was sweet and romantic. It sounded like a date movie."
Bowie cleared his throat. "I'm picking next time."
"I can't even argue with that," she said.
I tipped June's chin up with one finger. "You okay, Junebug?" She sniffed hard and blinked her puffy, bloodshot eyes.
"I don't know."
Her eyes welled up with tears again. I wrapped both arms around her and let her wet my shirt. "I've never seen her cry like that," Cassidy mouthed. I stroked June's hair and kissed the top of her head. "It's okay. I've got her." Cassidy gave me a warm smile. Bowie took her hand and they said goodbye. June didn't unbury her face from my sweater. "Come on, Junebug." I ran my hands through her hair again. "As much as I love having you this close to me, I can't walk with you clinging to my front like this, and we're still standing in front of the theater."
"I don't know what's wrong with me."
Her voice shook and she sniffed again.
The movie wasn't even based on a true story. It was entirely fictional. Why did it make me feel this way?
I put my arm around her shoulders and led her up the street toward my car. Because it touched something in you, and maybe you already had a lot of feelings brewing. They just needed to come out. June just nodded. We got to my car, and I opened the passenger door for her. She turned toward me, popped up on her tiptoes, and gave me a good, solid kiss.
Thank you, she said.
For what?
For understanding.
I brushed her hair back from her face and placed a soft kiss on her sweet lips. You're welcome.
Chapter 20, June. After the most horrible, awful, heartbreaking, wonderful movie I'd ever seen, George took me to get ice cream. He was basically a genius. There was definitely something to the eating our feelings theory. We sat in moonshine ice cream and cheese and licked our cones. I didn't want to talk about the movie. The film had been excellent, even though it had made me cry. I didn't much want to talk about anything, but George seemed to understand. He sat with me quietly, letting me process. Genius. The chaotic whirlwind of emotions dissipated. I felt better. Cleansed. By the time we finished our ice cream, I no longer felt the need to cry. I was in control of myself, calm and happy. When he took me home, I sensed something from him. There was tension between us. Not negative tension, as if we'd had another disagreement. Physical tension. He kissed me goodnight and didn't ask to come in. But I felt the question hanging between us nonetheless. Over the next 2 weeks, I felt it every time we were together. He touched me, held me, kissed me, and beneath the surface I could feel his desire for more. He didn't push. He wasn't putting pressure on me. But it was there. Our relationship was progressing, developing, and I liked that. I liked that we saw each other almost daily, that he greeted me with kisses and smiles, that I missed him when we were apart and got to experience the sweetness of seeing him again each time we were together. I liked him. Not only did I like him, I respected him. His physicality and background in athletics were only the surface. George Thompson had played football and been one of the best during his 10 years in the league, but football wasn't who he was. He was intelligent and kind and often amusing. I enjoyed his presence and found myself craving his company. But when it came to the place I knew our relationship was heading, I was scared. My body wanted things with him, from him. I felt the heat between us as keenly as he must have. Still, I held back from it. I tried to push it aside the way I did with my emotions when they were too strong. That physical yearning, that desire to be with him, terrified me. I knew it was coming. I just didn't want to face it, because if there was one thing I knew about myself and relationships, sex meant the end, and I didn't want to lose him. Friday night, he invited me over to his rental for an evening in. We'd been out in public doing a lot of socializing over the previous few days, dinner with my parents, another movie with my sister and Bowie, and George seemed to realize I was at my limit. A night in with him and his bunny sounded perfect. We ate dinner, then got cozy on the couch to watch ESPN. Mello hopped over, so we scooped her up and set her gently in my lap. Her tiny nose wiggled as her eyes slowly closed.
She sure likes you.
He ran his finger between her ears, then tilted my face toward his.
I sure like you, too.
His kiss was familiar, his lips so inviting. He touched my face and put his hands in my hair. This wasn't the first time we'd kissed on his couch or mine. But this time I could feel the difference. There was a hunger, simmering just below the surface. He wanted me. The truth was, I wanted him, too. I kissed him back eagerly, enjoying the way this felt, even though fear warred with my physical desire. He scooped Mello out of my lap and set her carefully on the floor. She hopped over to her little pillow, as if deciding her nap wasn't over. and then he was leading me into the bedroom. I followed, licking my lips, holding his hand. He brought me into his bedroom and laid me down on the bed. He leaned over me and kissed me again, deeper than before. His tongue caressed mine in a slow dance, and his weight was tantalizing. This was good. I could do this. But that fear was still there. I wasn't afraid of George. I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that if I said no, he would stop. That wasn't the problem. He pulled my shirt over my head and palmed my breast, his mouth tasting mine. He'd been patient. His weight on top of me and his deep, hungry kisses were very enticing. Everything pointed to this being right. I couldn't understand what was holding me back. He kissed down my neck and slipped my bra down. His tongue ran over my nipple, and it did feel extraordinary. The velvety texture of his tongue sent sparks running through me, making my skin prickle. Closing my eyes, I tried to relax, tried to tell myself George was different. He pulled off his shirt and tossed it aside, unbuttoned my pants and slid them down my legs. As the clothing came off, my anxiety grew. I was at war with myself, indecision distracting me from the feel of his hands on my body. Stop it, June. Stop thinking and feel. George hooked his thumb into the waistband of my panties while his other hand cupped my face.
Are you with me?
He was asking permission. I needed to give him an answer. Yes. The word escaped my lips on a sigh. I hoped saying it aloud, making a firm choice, would calm the storm of anxiety swirling in my brain. It did, for a few moments at least. Closing my eyes again, I let him touch and taste me. He kissed my neck and sucked on my nipples. Those hands that were so appealing caressed my skin. He paused to roll on a condom and settled on top of me between my legs. I felt him thrust in, not too hard, checking in with me to be sure I was okay. Yes, I said it again, because I wanted that yes to be true. The mad cascade of thoughts in my brain didn't stop. It continued on, relentlessly reminding me of what this meant. Questions bubbled up through the chaos in my head. Was he really different? Was I capable of this? Had I made a terrible mistake? Why couldn't I just be normal? He moved and thrust into me. Somewhere between the noise of my thoughts, I knew my body was responding. I knew this felt good, that the physical sensations were pleasurable. I should have been losing myself in this experience. He moved with expert grace, with sensual strength that should have had me mindlessly calling his name. But I wasn't. Because I wasn't normal. I was June Tucker, and I never understood how to do this right, how to get out of my head long enough to be intimate with another person. I'd come as close as I ever had with George, but now that we were crossing the line into physical intimacy, I was lost. I couldn't do it. Sadness poured through me as I felt his climax build. I clung to his back and buried my face in his neck. He murmured and groaned, and I tried to be there with him. I didn't want him to know. Yes, I said. Yes, come. He held me tight as his body went rigid. I felt the deep pulsing of his cock inside me. I didn't make a show of faking. I wouldn't have known how. But I rode his orgasm with him. I wanted him to enjoy it. To be happy, to feel good. But I didn't. I couldn't. Something inside me didn't work right. I was weird. Everyone knew it. I wasn't built for human relationships, and I'd been wrong to think I could have this with George. Sexual intercourse didn't leave any room to hide, and he was going to feel my failure. He rolled off me, his brow furrowed.
Baby, what happened?
Nothing, I said, trying to hold back the tide of emotion.
Mentally, I stepped away, separated myself. Nothing happened. It was perfectly satisfactory.
Why are you doing that?
He asked. Doing what?
Shutting me out.
I'm hardly shutting you out. I'm completely naked in your bed.
You didn't come.
The words flew at me, an accusation I couldn't deny. You don't know that?
Yeah, I do. Are you okay? Did I do something?
I'm fine. You didn't do anything wrong. I needed to go. This was scary and uncomfortable, making me feel inept and inadequate. I didn't like it. I got out of bed, scooping up my clothes.
June.
I tugged on my underwear and turned away from him to put on my bra. He said my name again, but I didn't answer.
June, please.
I'd managed to quickly pull on my pants, but the emotion in his voice made me pause. I slowly slid my arm through my shirt sleeve. What?
Talk to me.
I turned to look him in the eye. You didn't do anything wrong, I swear. Tears burned my eyes. I couldn't keep standing here in his room. I pulled my shirt down and walked away. Out the door. To my car. Away from him. Away from the inevitable end.
Chapter 21. George. This was some messed up shit. I gaped at the empty doorway June had just gone through. If I stared hard enough, maybe she'd reappear and I'd realize the last 5 minutes had been some kind of crazy hallucination. She didn't come back. My stomach turned over, a wave of sickness surging through me as I got up to deal with the condom. I cleaned up in the bathroom, tugged on a pair of sweats, then hit the couch. Mello bounded over, so I scooped her up into my lap. What the fuck just happened? I replayed everything in my mind, looking for where I'd failed, where I'd gone wrong. We'd been kissing on the couch, things getting hot and heavy. I hadn't sensed any problems. When I'd led her to the bedroom, she'd come along willingly. It wasn't like I'd picked her up and tossed her on the bed. Granted, there were times when that was called for, but I'd known our first time wasn't it. I'd taken things slow, made sure we were on the same page. She'd said yes, twice. I'd given her every opportunity to tell me to slow down, to let me know if she wasn't ready. I thought she trusted me enough that she knew I would have stopped if she said no. Why had she done that? Why had she let me do that to her? I stroked Mello's soft fur, feeling the barely there weight of her in my lap. The way June had walked out left me gutted. I felt hollow, staring at the floor because I couldn't think of anything else to do. I didn't remember falling asleep, but I woke up the next morning with my neck jacked up from sleeping cockeyed on the couch. Mello snoozed on my chest. I pet her a few times, and she cracked one of those blue eyes open. Hey, little one, are things still shit? She closed her eye. Oh, figured. I got up and set her on her pillow and went to get her breakfast. I had enough food in the house that I didn't have to leave for a couple of days. No word from June, which I took as a bad sign. I didn't call her either, but what was I supposed to say after that? We'd slept together and she'd left like the room was on fire. Another day, and I had to drag myself into town. I was out of groceries, and more importantly, I was out of alcohol. That wasn't going to fly. I figured I'd stop at Build-A-Shine and mix up as potent a concoction as Sonny Folsom could come up with. It might taste like gasoline when I was finished, but all I needed was something that would get my tall ass good and shit-faced. Unfortunately, when I walked into the pop-in to grab some groceries, who should be there but Sheriff Tucker? Of course I'd run into her father. This damn town was too small to avoid anyone.
Hey there, GT,
he said. The friendliness in his tone suggested he didn't want to shoot me, but I couldn't tell if he knew that June and I had essentially broken up. I nodded. Sheriff?
You all right, son?
I rubbed the back of my neck. I wasn't all right, and I was a terrible liar, but it wasn't like I could talk to her dad about this. Yeah, just fine. How's Mrs. Tucker?
Oh, Nadine's good.
An awkward silence hung between us. I was just about to tell him to have a good afternoon and get on with my shopping when he spoke. This time, his voice was serious.
Let's go have a drink.
I tried not to groan. I didn't want to have a drink with June's father, not after I'd slept with his daughter and sent her running. He clearly knew something was going on. Why did he want to sit down and have a beer? But I also felt like I couldn't say no. All right. We went outside, and for a second I was afraid he was going to put me in his patrol car. Thankfully, he just mumbled something about seeing me at the lookout. When we got there, I followed him inside. We ordered drinks from Nicolette, but didn't sit at the bar. She handed us two beers, and Sheriff Tucker led me to a table off to the side, alone, where there would be fewer witnesses. I sank into the chair and took a drink of my beer.
June seems upset, he said after a long moment. You know anything about that?
I suppose it's because of me, but I have to be honest, I don't really know what happened. He nodded slowly, like my answer hadn't surprised him.
My June bug is different.
I wasn't sure what to say to that, so I waited for him to continue.
She's whip smart, I'm sure you know that.
She's incredibly smart, I said. It's one of the things I like about her. He smoothed down his mustache.
But she has a big old blind spot.
A blind spot?
Sure, there are things that baffle even that big brain of hers.
I traced my thumb through the moisture on my beer bottle. You're saying she's smart when it comes to certain things, but other things she doesn't understand.
Right, he said. How do I put this? You see, well,
I waited while Sheriff Tucker stumbled over his words.
You know, he said, gesturing with one hand. You must have noticed she's not the best at relating to others.
She was doing just fine with me. I took another drink. At least I thought so.
I reckon she was. The problem is, she missed things. Cassidy always did a good job helping her out, but relationships were... how do I explain this?
I had a feeling at least some of what made people think of June as different came directly from her dad. I think you mean she's smart when it comes to math and statistics and her job, but she's not very experienced when it comes to relationships.
Yes, he said with a definitive nod. There are so few people who understand her. She's too smart for half of them and too unique for the other half.
I have to be honest with you, Sheriff. I'm not sure why you're telling me this. June... I glanced away, feeling the tug of pain in my chest when I said her name. She walked out on me a few days ago, and I haven't heard from her since. His eyes were on his beer.
I had a feeling something of that sort had happened.
I'm not sure what I did, but whatever it was, I didn't mean to hurt her.
That's what I'm trying to say, son.
I don't understand.
Damn girl gets it from me, most like. I'm no good at this either,
he muttered, more to himself than to me.
She's never been with anyone who thought she was worth the trouble.
Something about June was coalescing in my mind, a realization I couldn't quite pin down. I didn't know much about her past relationships, but I had a feeling this was important. You're saying she's been hurt,
Did guys she dated in the past treat her badly?
First one did, he said, and there was no mistaking the heat in his tone. There were a couple others when she got older, but I think that first one set the tone. Didn't court her properly, hurt her in the end.
She's never been with anyone who thought she was worth the trouble. The sheriff's words ran through my head on repeat. I knew he was right, I could feel it, and it broke my fucking heart. I think what you're trying to tell me is that I need to be the one to reach out to her, I said. If I think she's worth the trouble. He sighed, his shoulders relaxing, like he was relieved I'd figured out what he'd been trying to say.
That's right.
I nodded slowly and took a drink of my beer. Damn straight she was worth the trouble. I still didn't know what I'd done wrong, but it seemed to me that her daddy was trying to send me back onto the field. Maybe the game wasn't over yet.
Chapter 22, June. Even the distraction of Sports Center couldn't pull me from my malaise. I sat on my parents' couch, the game ticker rolling across the bottom of the TV screen, and felt miserable. I'd been miserable since the day I'd walked out of George's house, and it wasn't getting better. My parents had invited me, along with Cassidy and Bowie, for Sunday dinner on a Wednesday, which usually would have irritated me to no end. But today, I didn't care. I hadn't felt like cooking anyway. The meal had been fine, as these things went. My dad had made half-hearted attempts to pull me into the conversation. My mom had asked me nosy questions. Suspicious sister that she was, Cassidy had eyed me across the table. I hadn't said a word about George, but I could tell she knew something. It was only a matter of time before she stopped making out with Bowie on the back porch, thinking none of us knew, and came inside to force me into talking. I couldn't decide if I hoped she did or hoped she didn't. She made the decision for me. I heard her attempt at quietly sneaking in through the back door, and she said something to Bowie. He stayed in the kitchen, presumably to help my mom with the dishes.
Junie, what's going on with you? She asked when she came into the living room. I've never seen you so upset.
I'm not upset. I'm getting a cold. She raised an eyebrow and plopped down on the couch next to me.
Don't lie to me. You're no good at lying, and you shouldn't lie to your sister anyway. Talk to me. Maybe I can help.
I cleared my throat, trying to find the right words. How did one express things they didn't understand? I couldn't sort out what I was feeling. How could I tell Cassidy?
I slept with George.
Cassidy stiffened.
I can't tell how you feel about that by the way you said it. Did you want to sleep with him?
I nodded, then shook my head. Yes, but no, I don't know.
He didn't force you, did he?
No, I said, surprising myself with my own vehemence. No, it wasn't like that at all.
Okay, so what was it like?
I think it was nice. There were things about it that I enjoyed, physically. I paused, twisting my hands together in my lap. I don't know how to talk about this, Cassidy.
Her expression softened, and she reached over to grab my hand.
Oh, Junebug, it's okay. You don't have to tell me the details if you don't want to. I just want to know why sleeping with George made you upset. What did he do to you?
I shook my head.
It's not what he did to me. It's what I did to him. I don't understand how to do this part. I like George. I'm intensely attracted to him in a way I've never experienced before. He makes me want to be with him all the time. And you know how I feel about other humans.
I sure do.
But Cassidy, men don't like me after they've slept with me.
What?
What are you going on about?
What men?
I swallowed hard. You know about Hank Preston in high school. We dated for a while, and then he wanted to have intercourse.
I thought it was what I should do, what a normal girl would do. Many teenagers were having sex by then, but after we did, he broke up with me. Cassidy's face reddened as I spoke. Hank Preston was a no-good, dick-licking son of a motherless goat. He treated you terribly, and if I wasn't such an upstanding citizen, I'd have burned his house down a long time ago. Or at least, I wouldn't have stopped Scarlett from doing it. The point is, I'm not made for intimacy, I said. I don't understand it or how to return it, especially the physical kind. One asshole kid who slept with you and broke up with you right after doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, Junebug. It means he was garbage. He's not the only one. Cassidy's eyebrows shot upward. What? I've dated other men since high school, I said. Twice I've had a relationship progress to the point of sleeping together. Both times they broke up with me afterward. Hold on. First of all, I didn't know you'd slept with anyone besides Hank. Why didn't you tell me? And second, what do you mean they broke up with you afterward? Do you mean right after? To answer your second question, in one case it was the next day, the other was a few days later, but essentially the same thing. To answer your first, I don't know why I kept it from you. I felt very rejected when those men ended our relationships, especially because I knew why they had done it. And why was that? I looked down at my hands. Because I'm ill-equipped for an intimate physical relationship. You think they dumped you because you were bad at sex? She whisper-yelled. That's an oversimplification, but yes. It's not that I'm uneducated in the act itself. I understand how it works, but forging a proper intimate physical relationship is beyond my capabilities. Junie, that's not true. You don't think like other people. But that doesn't mean you can't have an intimate relationship with someone. What if it does? Her back straightened, and I recognized her expression, her Deputy Tucker face, equal parts authoritative and stubborn. It doesn't. It just means you need to find someone who understands the way you work. Tears stung my eyes. I almost never cried, but this hurt deep enough to elicit a response from my tear ducts. I don't know if that's possible. Okay, let's back up. Tell me what happened with George. We'd had a nice evening together, and when the time came, I gave him no reason to believe I didn't want to be with him. I'd resigned myself to it, because our relationship had naturally progressed to a point where intercourse seemed appropriate, or it would have if I was normal. Stop with the not normal shit, Junie. I ignored her comment and kept talking. It was physically enjoyable at first, but I was anxious. As he got closer to his climax, all I could think was that this was going to be the end. You really have that lodge deep in your brain, don't you? Cassidy asked. The idea that once you sleep with a guy, they're going to leave you. Past experience is the best predictor of future behavior, I said. Yeah, if you keep dating jackasses. But you didn't. No, I didn't date anyone. Because you didn't want to get hurt? I thought about that. Was that why I'd withdrawn? I'd never craved human companionship in the way most people seemed to. My sister had insisted I learn to socialize with others, and she'd always put a lot of effort into keeping me an active member of society. But my natural tendency had never been to seek out relationships with members of the opposite sex. Until George... Yes, but that's another oversimplification. It wasn't just a desire to avoid emotional pain. I learned from my dating experiences that I'm not like other women. I don't have whatever it is that makes them want to connect with a mate and bond with them. I don't know how to form a pair bond, Cassidy. I'm reading between the lines a little bit here, so correct me if I'm wrong, Cassidy said. But after you slept with George... Did you assume he'd break up with you, so you walked out on him first? In a manner of speaking. June, you are the most straightforward, no-bullshit person I know. Don't give me that in a manner of speaking crap. Did you leave because you thought you needed to break up with him before he could break up with you, or not? Yes, that's what I did. The tears came now.
as if I had no control over my emotions. Cassidy wrapped her arms around me and pulled me close. I allowed it. In fact, I welcomed it. The solace of my sister's arms as I cried was extremely comforting. "You can fix this, you know," Cassidy said when I'd stopped sobbing. "No, I can't." She pulled away and pushed my now messy hair back from my face. "Of course you can. Just go talk to him." "I can't fix what I am, Cassidy. He's passionate and full of emotion. He needs someone who can nurture that. Not a June bot." "You stop that right now," she said. "You're not a robot. And fuck Misty Lynn forever for calling you that. Fuck anyone who's ever said it." "They're right," I said. "You just don't see it because you're my sister." "No, I see that she's wrong because I'm your sister, because I know you. You're not emotionless. You just don't know how to process what you're feeling. Hell, most people don't know how to process what they're feeling. They're just not as logical about it as you are." "Regardless, the root of the problem isn't fixable." The tears started to build again. "I don't know how to be what he needs, and he deserves better than that." Cassidy sighed. "I'm telling you, right here, right now, that you're wrong. But if you don't believe me, at least consider this. Maybe he should get to make that call. Why do you get to decide what he deserves? You wouldn't want someone making that decision for you." I leaned back against the couch. I was essentially pouting at this point, which was very unlike me. But it was easier if I shut George out and hid behind my shortcomings. A lot easier than facing them. But Cassidy had always made me face my shortcomings head on. "Maybe. Well, that's something. I'll take it for now." She patted my knee and turned toward the kitchen. "Hey, Mama, we have ourselves a situation out here, one that's going to require some special treatment." "What does that mean?" I asked. "It means we're getting you drunk tonight, Junie. That's what."
Chapter 23. George. My phone buzzing on my nightstand woke me with a start. I sucked in a quick breath and grabbed it. It was Gibson. Why in the hell was Gibson Bodine texting me in the middle of the night? It was 1 a.m. "Gibson, you might want to come down to the lookout." "Me? What's going on?" "Gibson, kinda have to see this for yourself." He sent me a photo. The light was dim and I was still trying to wake up. It was hard to tell what I was looking at. I squinted at the screen. "Wait, was that June?" "Me. Be right there." I threw on some sweats and a t-shirt, stepped into my shoes, and didn't bother grabbing a coat. I regretted that half-awake decision the second I stepped outside into the cold night. Despite the fact that it was early spring, it was still freezing. But I wasn't going to pause to take care of my bodily needs. I was a big guy. Muscle would keep me warm. Noise spilled out into the parking lot at the lookout. Music and voices carried, even with the door shut. I went inside, and sure enough, there she was, just like the picture Gibson had sent. June stood on a table in the middle of the bar, drunk as a fish in a barrel of whiskey. She teetered to one side, then the other, like she might fall right over, but she took a breath, held out her arms, and stayed standing to a chorus of cheers and clapping from the crowd gathered around her. What in the hell was she doing? Her voice rose above the din.
"All right, y'all, ready for the next one?"
More cheers, fists, beer bottles, and mason jars raised in the air.
"Okay."
She held out her hands, motioning for quiet, although she already had the rapt attention of everyone in here.
"Simon says,"
the crowd collectively gasped,
"rub your stomach in a circle and pat your head."
Everyone standing around her table attempted to do what she'd said. Most appeared too drunk to manage it. A pair of old ladies burst into laughter as they stumbled into a man with a barrel chest wearing a bootleg Cockspurs t-shirt. A girl about June's age laughed so hard she had to sit down. An older lady I remembered as being called Granny Louisa was the steadiest on her feet, and she giggled as she rubbed her stomach and patted her head. Front and center, leaning into each other like they might fall otherwise, were Cassidy and Nadine Tucker. I knew who I had to thank for tonight's shenanigans. I glanced around for Sheriff Tucker or Bowie Bodine, but I didn't see either of them. Maybe the girls had given them the slip tonight. June clapped to get everyone's attention.
Simon says stop. Y'all are terrible at that. Okay, listen up. Jump on one leg.
A guy with a trucker hat on backwards was the only one to jump. Everyone else pointed and yelled for him to be out. He slunk off to a table and sat down with a few other dejected players.
Simon says...
She paused for dramatic effect.
Touch your knees.
Everyone did what she said. Her speech wasn't slurring much, but I could tell by the glassy look in her eyes and the way she swayed that she was three sheets to the wind. That, and the fact that I doubted sober June would be standing on a table in a bar leading Simon Says.
Simon says stop. Simon says turn in a circle.
That one proved to be the undoing of several tipsy players, including Cassidy Tucker. Turned out Bowie was here. He appeared out of nowhere to grab a wildly spinning Cassidy and guide her out of the way before she could collide with anyone. I spotted Gibson by the bar, gave him a chin tip in thanks. He returned it.
Simon says stop,
June said through a fit of laughter. Her eyes met mine and her smile disappeared.
Hey, everybody. Look who's here. It's G.T. Thompson.
Her use of my initials hit me hard. Drunk or not, she was sending me a message, trying to shut me out. Too bad for her, I wasn't having it. I marched over to her table through a crowd of people trying to say hi, ignoring the greetings and pats on the back. At least she hadn't said Simon Says attack George. I put my hands on my hips.
Hey, you.
She mimicked my stance, resting her hands on her hips.
Hey, yourself.
What are you doing up there?
We're playing a game, she said. And you're interrupting.
The crowd of tipsy bootleggers started to turn on me. I heard a few boos. I needed to tread carefully. They might have been playing a kid's game, but I knew how quickly this town could start a brawl. I didn't want to be at the center of one.
All right, then. Carry on.
She scrunched up her nose and glared at me.
I will. Simon says, reach for the sky.
I raised my hands in the air along with everyone else.
Simon says, put them down. Run to the bar and back.
No one took the bait.
Simon says...
She leaned to the side. I reached out to catch her, but she kept her feet.
Simon says you all win. Go take a shot.
Cheers rose up behind me and someone put their hand on my arm. I looked down to see Nadine Tucker give me a quick smile before ducking behind me.
Good boy,
she said. June was still standing, her eyelids heavy.
Come on down from there before you fall.
She waved me off.
I've got it.
You don't got it. For a second, I debated taking the time to coax her down and help her walk out of here on her own two feet. The last thing I wanted after the other night was any notion that I'd force her to do anything. But I could tell by the way she swayed that she was on the downhill side of drunk, liable to puke or pass out or both any minute. I wanted to get her somewhere safe now, not wait until her drunk ass decided to cooperate with me. I grabbed her by the waist and tossed her over my shoulder. Let's go, Junebug.
Wait, no, we're playing a game. They're having fun playing a game with me.
Game's over, honey, I said. Time to go home.
I don't want to go home.
She beat on my back a few times, her blows only one step shy of useless. I know, but you're drunk and I don't want you hurting yourself.
You're drunk.
Sure, Junebug, whatever you say. I hauled her outside to my car. If she was going to puke, there wasn't much I could do about it. My rental was closer than her place, so I went straight there. I'd deal with the ramifications later. For now, I just wanted to get her settled for the night. She didn't puke in the car, but I could tell it was coming as soon as I parked. I got her out before whatever she'd been drinking started to come up. That's it, honey. Let it out. I held her hair back as she doubled over. It was freezing cold, and I was dressed in nothing but a t-shirt and sweats. I shivered while I tried to keep June from tossing up a night's worth of heavy drinking into her hair. She stopped and straightened. You think you're done? She smoothed down her skirt in what looked like a drunken attempt to regain her dignity.
Yes, I believe so.
Wrong. She doubled over again. I shivered in the night air. My teeth started chattering. Finally, she seemed to be done. I led her inside, figuring I'd hose down the path to the front door tomorrow. June looked worse in the light of my cabin. Her hair was matted, bits of it stuck to the sheen of sweat on her forehead, and she had a big reddish stain across the front of her shirt. I hadn't noticed it in the dim light of the bar. She looked like someone had thrown a drink on her.
What happened?
I asked, pointing to her shirt. She tugged on the hem and looked down.
Oh, this? Cassidy drank to spill on me.
Cassidy spilled a drink on you?
That's what I said.
I looked her up and down. She was a mess, sticky and dirty. I couldn't put her to bed like that. Come on, Junebug, you need a shower, then bedtime.
Where are we?
She asked as I led her to the bathroom.
My place, that okay?
She stumbled, and I kept my hands on her waist to steady her.
No.
No? June, it's the middle of the night, and you're drunk as all get out. Do you really want me to drive you home?
I'm a terrible girlfriend,
she said. No, you're not, and we can talk about this tomorrow after you sober up.
I never get drunk.
You did tonight. You need a shower. Can you do that? I got her into the bathroom, but she just stood there.
That depends.
She narrowed her eyes and tapped her lips with her fingertip.
Which shower do I use?
How many do you see? She jabbed her finger at the air in front of her several times.
Three.
I sighed. There was no way around this. I'm going to undress you and help you in, but only so you can get clean, okay?
Why are you so nice to me?
I was running out of reasons for that real fast, so I ignored her question and took off her shirt. Beautiful as she was, there was nothing sexy about peeling sticky clothes off a drunk June. She stumbled and almost fell no less than six times. Once I got the water running, I hoped she'd step in the shower and at least rinse off by herself. She could wash her hair properly tomorrow. But she just leaned her hand against the edge of the shower and didn't get in. June, honey, can you get in the shower, please?
George, I think I consumed too much alcohol.
Yeah, you did. She didn't reply. I was losing her. I needed to get her cleaned off and hopefully some water in her before she passed out for the night. Fuck. I stripped off my clothes, willing my stupid dick to calm down. Yes, June was naked, and yes, she looked very good that way, but this was no time for an erection. There was no version of this where I touched June tonight. Not a chance in hell. Get in there, honey. I stepped in the shower with her. Turn around. Let's rinse your hair. She stood in front of me and let me run my fingers through her hair, wetting it. Rather than risk her sleeping with puke or the remnants of whatever Cassidy had spilled in her hair, I washed it for her. Her head leaned back as I massaged her scalp. That hard-on of mine was going absolutely nowhere, which made me feel like a giant asshole. I rinsed her off, and thankfully she took the initiative to wash the rest of herself. I stood back and turned to the side to give her what privacy I could. God damn, she was beautiful. Her wet hair hung down her back and water ran over her soft curves. She was on the tall side for a woman, but little next to me. Most people were. I stole quick glances at her as she washed herself off, admiring the tapering of her waist, the curve of her hips, and that ass. Oh, damn, that ass. She stumbled and I caught her, which reminded me how drunk she was, even though her naked wet body was now plastered against mine.
"Why are we naked?"
I groaned. "Bedtime, Junebug, now." She didn't protest. Her eyes were heavy and she leaned into me. I practically had to drag her out of the shower. As quickly as I could, I toweled her off. Her hair was still wet, but I had to leave it. She needed to lie down. I got her on the bed and tugged a t-shirt on her so she wouldn't be completely undressed. I'd already decided I was sleeping on the couch, but I didn't want her waking up naked in my bed. I had no idea how much of this she'd remember in the morning. "Lie down now. I'll get you some water."
"Okay,"
she said, her voice dreamy. The t-shirt bunched up to her waist and she scooted onto the bed. I rolled my eyes and got a pair of boxers out of a drawer, tugged those up her legs. They were too big, as was the shirt, but I needed to cover what she had between those gorgeous legs of hers. I'd be up all night just thinking about it, her pussy tormenting me from afar. I got her some water and helped her take a long drink. Then she collapsed, her head just missing my pillow. "Oh, thank God," I muttered, setting the water glass on the nightstand next to her. Hopefully she'd sleep the rest of the night.
"Stay."
Her face was smushed into the mattress, so I wasn't sure I'd heard her correctly.
"What?" "Stay with me," she said. "I'm too inebriated to be alone."
"Junebug, you're just going to sleep. I'll be right out there if you need anything." Her eyes stayed shut as she talked.
"Intoxication can lead to vomiting, and there's a danger of pulmonary aspiration."
Even drunk June was smart. "All right, I'll stay, but you better remember this was your idea in the morning. I don't want a hungover June yelling at me for sleeping with her."
"Do you mean that literally or as a euphemism for sexual relations?"
"I mean sleeping literally. No one is having sex in this bed tonight." God, I was tired. I went around to the other side of the bed and sank down. "Let's go to sleep now, okay? I'll be right here."
"Okay, George."
At least she was calling me George again. That seemed like progress, even though she was passing out drunk. "Night, Junebug." The only answer was her soft breathing as she slept.
Chapter 24, June. A sharp pain stabbed me behind the eyes, and my stomach felt like it had been scraped out like a pumpkin. I groaned, tucking my knees up. Why had I let Cassidy talk me into drinking so much? I never drank to excess. I knew the precise ratios of alcohol, food, and water my body required to avoid the misery of a hangover. Why had I tossed that all aside and poured blackberry moonshine down my throat last night? To be fair, it had been fun while it lasted. Now it was decidedly not fun. I groaned again and rubbed my eyes before taking a chance and opening them. This wasn't my room. I sat up and everything started spinning. My stomach roiled, protesting the sudden movement. I clutched my belly and closed my eyes.
"You all right?"
That soft, low voice nearly undid me. I took a shaky breath, my eyes still closed. George. I was in George's bedroom. He'd come to get me last night. Had I really been standing on a table? Embarrassment washed over me. I'd made a complete spectacle of myself. And George had brought me here.
I'd walked out on him, and he'd still taken care of me. Pulling my legs up, I rested my forehead on my knees. Why?
Because you needed me.
That's all? The sheets rustled, and I felt the mattress shift with his weight. His large hand rested against my back, warm and comforting.
That's all.
I sniffed and risked a peek at him. He was dressed in a rumpled t-shirt and sweats, his hair disheveled. His eyelids drooped a little, like he wasn't fully awake, and one corner of his mouth hooked in a slight grin. He was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. Men don't like me after we've had sex, I said.
Then you were with the wrong men.
I sat up a little straighter. That had never occurred to me as a possible explanation. But I was still convinced the root of the problem was me. That's why I left the other night. In the past, when a relationship progressed to intercourse, it ended shortly thereafter. I came to the conclusion that I'm unsuitable for that type of intimacy.
Oh, hell, June, why didn't you talk to me about this?
There was a touch of heat in his voice, and I could tell he was angry or hurt. It was hard for me to tell the difference.
If you'd have told me how you felt, we could have figured it out. I wouldn't have...
You seemed to find satisfaction in our activities.
No, I didn't. It was terrible.
My heart sank, and the rawness in my stomach clawed at me. That's what I'm trying to point out. I'm ill-equipped for this.
June, look at me.
He spun me around so I was facing him.
It wasn't terrible because you weren't good at it. It was terrible because you didn't want to be there. Because I thought we were ready to share that with each other. And it turns out that readiness was awfully one-sided. It was terrible because before I could catch my breath, you were running out the door.
I apologize for the way I left.
Apology accepted, he said. But June, that was not what I wanted from you. If you weren't ready...
I should be ready, I said, frustration leaking into my voice. I care about you, and I'm attracted to you, and I don't fully comprehend why, but you're attracted to me too. I want to understand how to do this right, but I just don't. I can tell you the square root of 324, but I can't manage to be truly intimate with someone, even someone as amazing as you.
What is the square root of 324?
18.
Jesus.
He scrubbed his hands over his face.
Junebug, I have no idea why you being a human calculator is such a turn-on, but hell if it isn't.
That made me crack the tiniest of smiles. He studied my face for a long moment, narrowing his eyes, as if he were thinking deeply.
Do you remember when we danced at the lookout?
Yes.
You said you didn't understand dancing.
That's correct.
Did you understand it by the time we were finished?
I thought back to that night, the way his hands had felt. His body pressed against mine, the rhythm and movement as we swayed to the music. It had been arousing and enjoyable. Yes, I did understand dancing by the time we finished.
Good. I'm going to do the same thing again.
But you already explained dancing. I don't need another lesson, unless you're interested in another style, in which case... He touched a finger to my lips.
No, not dancing. I'm going to show you how to develop an intimate physical relationship.
I furrowed my brow. But we've already had sex.
Only technically. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't count.
Just because I didn't achieve orgasm doesn't mean the act didn't occur.
This is what I'm talking about, Junebug. Physical intimacy isn't just putting your dick in someone's vagina. That's all well and good, and I admit I've had that and nothing more with a woman before, and it was all right. But that's not what I want with you. Call me old-fashioned, but sex means something to me.
George, I keep trying to tell you. I don't understand that part of it. He smiled, That slow, sexy grin that made me ache.
I know you don't. That's why I'm going to show you.
Physical intimacy? He nodded. Like you did with dancing? He nodded again. I glanced around the room, my eyes darting back and forth. Now?
No. With baseball.
You played football. He laughed softly.
I played football professionally, but I played all the sports, Junebug. Besides, I don't mean that literally. I'm going to take you around the bases, one by one.
Realization dawned on me. I was familiar with the use of baseball as an analogy for the progression of physical intimacy. Oh, I think I understand. He reached over and took my hand. Even now, his touch felt so good, so safe and comforting.
We're going to take it nice and slow, he said. I'm going old school with this. I'll court you properly, like a good bootleg girl deserves. No moving to a new base until you're ready. We take as much time as you need.
So, for example, first base.
That's kissing.
We've already had intercourse once, but you're willing to not...